We're talking today with Mike Stomm, who's with Kansas State University. And Mike, you're, of course, the canola breeder with K-State. Had some interesting observations about this 2014 growing season that we've just concluded. You said that we really obviously learned some things about varieties that we had not had a chance to really observe before, especially when it comes to this issue of being able to make it through the winter hardiness issue.
Yeah, that's right, Ron. It has certainly been an interesting year for winter canola, and who would have guessed that we'd have one of the coldest winters we've had in the last decade in the same year that we had the extreme drought conditions that all wheat and canola producers faced. And so I think our survival issues were amplified somewhat by the drought conditions that we faced, but as we moved further north into parts of Kansas where we did have adequate moisture over the winter, we did see some absolute kill from winter temperatures.
When we look at, all the factors that we had to deal with this year, in your opinion, as we look at the varieties we have right now, do we have enough winter hardiness really bred into most of these varieties that we're trying to deal with here in the Southern Plains?
I think we do. I think we have to be more selective now. If there's something that is maybe not proven for winter hardiness, maybe we need to think about planting something that does have proven winter hardiness in addition to something new that we haven't seen tested in a year like we did this past year. But I'm pretty confident that we do have levels of winter survival that will get us through the winter. We just need the moisture in addition to the hardiness when we have years like we just had.
Obviously growing conditions leading into winter itself, critical to get that plant to a point where it can make it through the winter, right?
That's right. Fall rains are really beneficial for this crop. As everybody knows, it is a small seeded crop that is seeded shallowly, and so soil moisture in the planting zone is very important. For canola to get through the winter, we need 6 to 8 inches of top growth and 6 to 8 true leaves. That helps it to store up carbohydrates within the plant tissue, and those carbohydrates help it get through the winter months.
When you think about the various variety trials, both in your state as well as in Oklahoma, here for the 2014 growing season, what stuck out in your mind? What did you notice as you looked from location to location about some of these varieties?
What I noticed in my travels was virtually every location I had some differential winter kill. So we were able to collect a significant amount of data on winter survival of the different varieties that we're growing or experimenting with. And, as a plant breeder, over the last 8 years working with winter canola, I really haven't had that opportunity to collect any data over that wide of a geographical region. So that's really going to benefit the breeding program at Kansas State in the future, I think. And it's in these years of extreme cold that we really see the value of having breeding programs that are located within the region that they're developing the crop for. And not to brag on our materials, but we did see improved survival in the varieties that we are developing, and that's a good thing. We've made some strides over the last 20 years that we've been working with this crop, and that's really important for this region.
When you think about, the characteristics that are unique to the Southern Plains, what makes this area maybe a little bit different compared to some of the major canola-growing parts of the world?
As far as I know, there is no environment that is more challenging than the Southern Great Plains for growing canola. In parts of the EU where they grow a lot of winter canola, they have steady temperatures over the winter and snow cover. And those are things that we don't often experience here in Kansas and Oklahoma. A lot of times our snow cover is short-lived, and we have peaks and valleys in our temperatures over the winter months. We're not guaranteed moisture over the winter. We're not guaranteed moisture before we plant in the fall, and those things make this environment challenging. But as we continue to breed and develop varieties for the region, hopefully we'll get some of those inherent benefits of drought tolerance and winter hardiness built up into our varieties.
When we think about, let's talk a little bit about your breeding program. What's in the pipeline? What you've got out there right now? What's in the pipeline for canola producers?
Right now, we have primarily conventional varieties that are available. And there are three that have been on the market for a few years now. And our most recent variety that's available is Riley, and it's a conventional variety. What I like about Riley is that it does produce oil. It's the first line out of our breeding program that consistently produced over 40% oil, which was around 2% greater than Wichita, which was the first variety that was released really for the Southern Great Plains. And so if you're looking for a conventional OP, Riley is where I send people, because as we all know, oil is really important, and it was very much limited by the conditions that we had, that we experienced over 2013-14. So we want to be looking for varieties that do produce oil in the future. As far as what's in the pipeline, we are looking at one new Roundup Ready variety that will be commercially available, and this will be commercially available through a license with Monsanto. It will be in a DeKalb bag. The number on it is DKW4525, and I would just tell growers right now to ask their seed, ask their account managers for DeKalb about seed availability on that variety. I would expect a limited this year, if any, and in the future we'll probably see and definitely see more. And we do have at least three to four other Roundup Ready varieties that we have in the pipeline that are very close to being approved for release. So I would expect over the next 1 to 2 years to see more available on the market, and we're really excited about that. And in addition to that, we do have a couple of varieties that we're looking at that have the SU carryover tolerance and what I would say would be improved winter hardiness traits over what's commercially available now.
For the producer, as he comes toward the 2015 planting season, in the next few weeks, tries to make those decisions, starts so lining up seed, all that kind of stuff, what are your recommendations to them?
I would get my hands on at least 2 to 3 years of variety trial data from OSU and look at variety performance over year and location. And if you can find locations that have been published that are close to you, that's a positive thing. That'll help you with a variety decision. Don't base your decision on one trait alone. Don't just plant something because it was the top survivor over this last winter, because we don't know what the winter is going to be like. Make sure that variety at least produced yield and was competitive with what's currently available. There are lots of options out there that are available. We do have herbicide resistance. We have conventional varieties. We have open pollinated varieties, and we have the hybrid varieties. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the individual producer's management, what varieties they select for their farm. And I would say, though, if you're interested in pushing the yield envelope and you want to produce high oil, you should definitely consider a hybrid variety, because hybrids will give you those two traits.